How did you had to deal with the death of your husband? You were around the funeral home and everybody's dealing with death. How did you deal with that? Was it because you'd been around death?
Well, I certainly knew what they were going through.
Right.
I mean, you learn by experience. And I understood how they felt because I had felt that way. The children, in fact, I did start a group, and I don't know whether it's still active or not, and it was for children. In other words, they experience the same thing we do. They just don't know how to verbalize. And I told the parents, your children have to have an opportunity to sit down and talk with you and with their siblings, cry a little, decide what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Because they're hurt as badly as you do.
But then you realized you had a special connection to young widows.
Oh, yes.
And did you start recovery classes somewhere?
Yes. In 1974, I started in Boston Avenue. And it was called Growing Through Grief. And I held those once a week at Boston Avenue and then twice a month for 2 hours. And I did that for 20-some-odd years.
Hmm.
I was tired.
Yeah, right.
At that point. So I gave it up. Other people from other churches came in, sat in on some of them, and they started it in their churches, too.
Okay. I know you can't go into it all now, but if somebody's listening and maybe going through grief, just briefly, what would you say to someone who is going through the grief right now? What would you say to them?
All right, tell me, why are you here? And they would say, well, I lost my husband. And I would say, where did you lose him? And I said, I want to know what you mean by lost. You haven't lost a thing. He's in your mind, he's in your heart, and he'll be with you for the rest of your life. He was the one who had an activity. He died. Now let's use the proper terminology.
Yeah.
And from that point on, we did.
We are, for some reason, I know, afraid to say died, or he is dead.
Yes, and death. It's so hard. And they ought to look at some of the books. I mean, authors now, right, Dark and Death, Death Tomorrow. Or, I mean, so many of the books have using the word death in a title. It's more commonly used.
You've helped hundreds and hundreds of survivors. I'm sure many have come back to you to say thank you.
And they have come back with another death.
Okay.
You know, repeats, yes.
Yeah.
And then when I started giving book reviews, they would show up at the book review and remind me that I had waited on their family back in 1993 at Stanley's.
Yeah.
It took me a while to place them, but usually I did.
Yeah. Okay, book review, tell me about that.
Well, I had done that when I was in college also. I made $5 every time I did it. And then after Bob died, Opera gave me a book and said, will you review this for me? I said, I don't even know what this terminology means. I'm not an opera fan. But anyway, I did, and that got me started in the 1960s. And I got $5 at that point, too. But anyway, later on, I would give a book at least one a week, and I read a lot. But I have macular degeneration now, so that it's very difficult to read.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It cuts back on my activities.
Yes. But you worked for Moore, Joe Moore.
Yes.
And I've interviewed him, too, for VoicesOfOklahoma.com.
Did you go to his office?
I did.
Yes.
I did indeed. And so you actually worked for him then, didn't you?
I did. And then his son, I had met his son, Joe Pat, because I knew Joe Pat when he was a little kid. That's Joe Pat Moore, Dr. Moore. And then when he took over his father's business, he came in my office one day and closed the door, and he said, I want to talk to you about something. I said, okay. And he was asking me about different. He said, did you ever face this when you were at Stanley's? I said, yes, we did. And what was your reaction? So I told him. So he did that once or twice, but he took it over. And I got out of the business completely in December of 2020. I couldn't see. And I said, Joe Pat, I can't see to make a contract. I can't see the lines. And you don't want anybody like that dealing with money.
Yeah.
So I just said, I'm retiring.
You know, the funeral business is interesting because...
It's very interesting.
And the emotions, and to be around that all the time, can that lead to depression amongst workers?
No, it didn't for me. No, and I don't think anybody that really goes into it and wants to do it. It is not. It's depressing when you see a family in grief. But you have to learn to handle that family. I don't think that I had a family that ever walked out crying or in grief because we talked about other things. They usually wound up laughing about something, and that was a sign of a future.
Right. Probably ended up laughing about stories about the loved one who had passed.
Oh, yes, something that we talked about.
Yeah, right. Aren't there different emotions of grief, sad and even mad? And
anger.
Anger. Why the anger?
Anger is, to think that this happened to me. And I'll say, it did not happen to you. It happened to your husband, or it happened to your wife. Now it's up to you how you're going to handle this.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting how these observations came naturally to you because you weren't trained.
Oh.
But you just figured it out on your own.
Well, you know, when you experience it yourself, you learn a lot.
Yes. To understand grief, you must have been there yourself. And that's what helped you through that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how to handle grief. We're never really ready to accept the loss of a loved one, whether...
You used the wrong term.
I just did?
You did.
And what did I
say?
You
said loss.
I did. Well, how do I say
I'm correcting you.
How would I have said that? The loss, we lost...
The death.
Okay, the death. We're never ready to accept the death of a loved one.
Now, mark it on your... If it's written out there, you change it to death. So if you give it again, you're going to say the right word.
Yes, teacher.
Yes,
teacher.
I taught a long time.
Yes, you did. But sometimes we know that somebody is going to die.
Yes.
And it could be 6 months or a year.
Yes.
You're going to die. And then, or somebody dies suddenly, it's all the same, isn't it? Nobody's really prepared for that.
No, you're not
death.
Prepared. And the sudden death also is shock.
Yeah.
Because, what do you mean? I said goodbye this morning when they went to work. Where if they're under hospice, and hospice is wonderful, then you have tried to prepare yourself. I had remarried after Bob died and was married for 15 years. I was with him also when he died and when Bob died. I had written a chapter about that incident. And when you look into somebody's eyes and they are dying, it's like a shudder. A shudder goes over the eye, or the inside, and you realize there's nothing there.
Yeah.
It's gone.
What was the name of your second husband?
Mel Rippey.
And you were married how long again?
15.
15 years, right. I'll bring something personal in here because my daughter, Michelle, died May 30th of this year.
And that was a blow,
and
wasn't it?
Well, particularly since she was only 50 years old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And it was a sudden death. And so I've gone through some of these emotions, and it's a weird feeling. We put up some pictures as a result of her death, and now when I look at those pictures, I'm beginning not to like them because I realize we put them there because of her death. Are you following me?
Yes, I do.
Right. Now, there are some other pictures that I'm going to take out that are going to be easier to look at, but for some reason, those pictures bother me.
Well, take them down and put up happy pictures.
Yes.
Pictures that'll make you happy,
right,
that you shared her life.
And then I'm sure everybody asks why, and they've said to you, but why? Why should this, why should she happen to die at 50?
Nobody can answer it.
Nobody can answer
no.
it. As if, why should you be able to live to be 101?
That's right.
We don't know.
I didn't plan it.